Crime and Crime Again is a true crime podcast containing subject matter that may be graphic or disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. As of January 2024, Oklahoma was ranked second in the United States for cases of missing indigenous people. Out of 840 indigenous people reported missing in the United States, 86 of those were in Oklahoma. By the end of 2024, Oklahoma by itself had a total of almost 700 open missing person cases, which means that while indigenous people make up only about 8% of Oklahoma's population, they account for about 12% of the state's missing person cases. It's important to note that cases of missing indigenous people are likely vastly underreported for a variety of reasons. Mistrust of law enforcement, missing indigenous people being incorrectly reported as another race, or law enforcement simply not allowing families to file a missing person report until several days have passed. So bear in mind that the numbers of missing and murdered indigenous people in the United States are likely higher than what current data shows. Nationwide, the epidemic of missing and murdered indigenous people paints an even darker picture. According to the Centers for Disease Control, or the CDC, in 2022, about 58% of American Indian and Alaska Native women and 51% of American Indian and Alaska Native men had experienced intimate partner violence in their lifetimes. Intimate partner violence was a factor in 38% of homicides of American Indian and Alaska Native women. On some reservations, indigenous women face rates of violence at about 10 times higher than the national average. Unfortunately, today I have an MMIW case to share with you. Born in Dallas, Texas on June 20, 1991, Brittany Michelle Tiger was the youngest of three siblings. In 2000, Brittany and her family moved to Ada, Oklahoma, where she spent most of her life. Not much is known about Brittany's childhood or the years leading up to her disappearance. What we do know is that when she was about 18 years old, Brittany had her first child, a boy. 2 years later, she welcomed another baby boy. And 3 years after that, when Brittany was 22 or 23, she had her first baby girl. According to Brittany's mother, Bernadine Bearheels, Brittany did struggle with substance abuse for a few years. It's unclear when it started, but Bernadine says that Brittany did truly want to get clean. Sometime in 2016 or early 2017, Brittany met a man named William Gomez. In April 2017, the couple applied for a marriage license, but for whatever reason, didn't go through with the marriage. In August 2017, they reapplied for a marriage license, and this time, they made it official. After they got married, Brittany and her three children moved into Will's apartment. According to Brittany's family, her marriage to Will seemed happy. Brittany's sister Jessica even described the pair as inseparable in an interview with NBC. But over time, what initially appeared to be a newlywed bond started to look like something else entirely. According to Brittany's mother, Will tended to be controlling. He seemed to dislike when Brittany went anywhere without him. And frankly, she didn't. The couple was always together. Brittany's mother also told Verified News Nation, now known as Crosswinds News, that Brittany and Will used methamphetamine together. In fact, Bernadine said that Brittany would have Will inject her. But Brittany was apparently so afraid that Will would accidentally overdose her that she asked her older sister to watch them use to make sure nothing happened to her. It's not clear whether Brittany asked Will to inject her because she didn't want to do it herself, or if Will made the executive decision to do it for her. In February 2018, just 6 months into their marriage, it seemed as though the relationship was already crumbling. According to Bernadine, on February 10, 2018, Brittany told her that she wanted to leave Will. At that time, Bernadine was planning a trip to Dallas, Texas to visit with her other daughter. Brittany asked her mother if she could go with her to Dallas. She also told her mother that her phone was broken and that she would message her on Facebook Messenger, but she never did. On the night of February 11, 2018, Brittany's three children were all with their biological fathers, leaving Brittany and Will alone in the apartment. A few days passed, and none of Brittany's family had heard from or seen her. At the time, Brittany's mother and sister, Bernadine and Jessica, lived only half a mile from Brittany's house. So when a week had passed without hearing from or seeing Brittany, her family started to worry. On February 19, 2018, 8 days after anyone had last made contact with Brittany, her sister Christina filed a missing person report with the Ada police. Investigators promptly visited the apartment where Brittany and Will lived, and they were a bit taken aback to see that Will was there, going on about his life as normal. He had not filed a missing person report for his wife. When detectives asked Will why he had not filed a report, he told them that he, quote-unquote, figured there wouldn't be a detective there at nighttime. He also told detectives that he wasn't worried because Brittany had a history of leaving for weeks at a time. Brittany's family is adamant that that is not true. Will told the detectives that Brittany's children were not at the apartment that night, so he and Brittany decided to go to bed early. Will claimed that he woke up sometime around 3:30 a.m. and noticed that Brittany was not in their bed. It's not specified whether Will looked around the apartment for Brittany. According to Will, he assumed that Brittany had simply left. Reminder that he claimed that she often left for weeks at a time, something that her family vehemently denies. Will told detectives that when Brittany left, she'd taken two hoodies and her makeup bag. He also stated that he and Brittany only had one phone that they shared, and that Brittany had taken it with her when she left. When asked for the number of that phone, Will told detectives that he didn't know the number. As detectives were standing there, speaking to Will about their only phone that Brittany allegedly took with her, a phone rang in Will's pocket. When asked about the phone in his pocket, Will claimed that he'd gotten a new phone, since Brittany took their phone and she was nowhere to be found. Detectives asked for the number to the phone in his pocket, and Will gave it to them. However, detectives apparently never took that phone to search it. At that point, detectives assumed that Brittany had left the apartment on foot, because neither she nor Will owned a car. While detectives were at the apartment questioning Will, dispatch informed them that Will's name was flagged in the NCIC database with a notice to contact federal probation if law enforcement made contact with him. It turned out that William Gomez had a significant criminal history. In June 2011, when he was 19 years old, Will applied for a marriage license, and later that month, he married his first wife, Angela. On June 20th, 2011, the same day that the marriage certificate for Will and Angela was recorded, a man entered an Arvest Bank in Choctaw, Oklahoma, handed a teller a pillowcase, and pointed a shotgun at her, demanding that she fill the pillowcase with cash. The man made off with about $7,000 before he fled the bank and got into a truck, driven by a woman. The pair later abandoned the truck and got into a white plumbing van. The van was tracked to a local plumbing business, and from there, investigators were able to tie the bank robbery to one of the plumbing company's employees, William Gomez. Investigators also identified the woman seen driving the truck away from the bank robbery as Angela, Will's wife at the time. The plumbing business was actually owned by Angela's father. He had just hired Will to work at the company the day of the robbery. Angela told police that Will had forced her to be an accomplice in the robbery. She stated that he held a shotgun to her side and told her that if she didn't help him, he would go to her parents' house and hurt them. On June 21, 2011, the day after the bank robbery, William Gomez turned himself in to police. He told police that he had spent the money he'd stolen at a casino and that he threw the shotgun into a lake. In September 2011, Will pleaded guilty to armed bank robbery. He was sentenced to 50 months in prison and 4 years of federal probation. He was also ordered to pay restitution. Will's wife, Angela, was convicted of using funds obtained from the robbery of the bank and sentenced to 24 months in federal prison. She was also ordered to pay restitution. It's not clear whether she served her full sentence. Angela filed for divorce in September 2013. Will's sentence was set to end in February 2019. However, for whatever reason, he was released early. It was after his release from prison that he met Brittany Tiger sometime between 2016 and early 2017. Now we're back to February 2018. The weeks pressed on, and Brittany Tiger remained missing. But on March 16, 2018, just over a month after Brittany disappeared, there was a tragic break in the case. A rancher near Allen, Oklahoma, was out with his kids, checking on their cattle on a property about 1 mile south of the Cullahoma Stompgrounds, when he discovered a body. Police were called and the area quickly became a crime scene. The body was in a state of decomposition. The arms were splayed out above the head, as though the body had been dragged to the location. The shirt and bra were pulled up over the breasts, another indicator that the body had been dragged. The body was soon identified as that of 26-year-old Brittany Tiger. She was found about 15 miles away from the apartment where she lived with Will. The toxicology report revealed that methamphetamine was detected in Brittany's system. Brittany's cause and manner of death were both ruled undetermined, meaning that her death couldn't even be definitively ruled a homicide, despite the suspicious circumstances. Brittany's case stalled. Despite the ruling by the medical examiner, there was not a doubt in the minds of Brittany's family that she was murdered. Number one, when Brittany was found, her arms were splayed above her head and her shirt and bra were pulled up over her breasts. She had clearly been dragged by her legs to the spot where she was found. Number two, the location where Brittany's body was found was about 15 miles away from her home, where she was last seen. Brittany did not own a car. She did not get to that location on her own. And number three, Brittany's family stated that Will had a tendency to be controlling and didn't seem to allow Brittany to go anywhere without him. Despite this, Will was decidedly unbothered by the fact that Brittany had allegedly, according to him, up and left without him. He didn't file a missing person report for his missing wife, nor is there any evidence that he tried to contact or search for her while she was missing. Initially, Brittany's death was being investigated as a homicide, but 1 year later, in February 2019, Ada Police Detective Brian Engel told Dateline, quote, "There is no current evidence that a crime has been committed," end quote. In an unexpected turn of events, on March 6, 2020, almost 2 years after Brittany's body was found, a 25-year-old man named Bodie Chance Starnes was arrested and charged with unlawful disposal of a deceased corpse in connection with Brittany's case. Investigators made the arrest after obtaining information from several witnesses. One witness told police that he saw Bodie Starnes and another man carrying a suitcase out of the man's apartment one evening. That same witness also told police that he learned about Brittany's disappearance 2 weeks after he witnessed the two men carrying the suitcase out of the apartment. A second witness told police that Starnes made comments to her about disposing of Brittany's body. And a third witness told police that while at an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, Starnes told him that he helped dispose of Brittany's body. But that's as far as the case against Bodie Chance Starnes would go, at least in connection with Brittany Tiger. A Supreme Court ruling in July 2020 would stall Brittany's case once again. In McGirt v. Oklahoma, the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Oklahoma has no jurisdiction over crimes committed by tribal members on tribal lands. Those crimes would instead fall under federal jurisdiction. As a result of the McGirt v. Oklahoma ruling, the charges against Bodie Chance Starnes in connection with Brittany Tiger's case were dismissed in November 2020. However, in July 2020, Starnes was charged with possession of contraband after being found with a shank while incarcerated. Starnes received a sentence of 20 years in prison, with all but 10 suspended and some time served. I was not able to find Starnes' projected release date. Bodie Chance Starnes is the only person that has ever been arrested and charged in connection with Brittany's case. It seems very clear that Brittany Tiger was murdered and then disposed of. Whoever dragged her into that field did not want her to be found. That by itself should have warranted more thorough, diligent investigation by local law enforcement. But because a man claimed that she liked to run off and abandon her family for weeks at a time, because she struggled with substance abuse, because there was methamphetamine found in her system after her death, because Brittany was Indigenous, she was written off as a statistic. Another Indigenous woman who disappeared and was later found dead, but authorities don't know how or why and don't appear to be overly motivated to find out. It has now been more than 7 years since Brittany Tiger was murdered. Her mother, sisters, and her three children are still awaiting justice. If you have any information regarding the disappearance and death of Brittany Tiger, please call the Ada Police Department at 580-332-4466 or call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-222-8477. You can also submit a tip anonymously at okcrimestoppers.com. All sources for this episode can be found in the show notes. You can find Crime and Crime Again on X at Crime Again Pod, on Instagram at Crime Again Podcast, and on TikTok at Crime Again Podcast. Be sure to check out the YouTube channel, which will also be linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of Crime and Crime Again.